I want to read with you from John's Gospel. If you want to follow the reading, it's in John chapter 18. It's just the last two verses of the chapter. And we're breaking into a situation. And John 18, verse 39, says these words. Pilate is the speaker. We have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Paul, in his letter to the Corinthians and the anonymous author of the letter to the Hebrews, shared a joint complaint. And their complaint was this, that the recipients of their letters had not developed spiritually into maturity. And the consequence of that was that both Paul and the writer to the Hebrews has to refer to them still requiring milk rather than strong meat. My fellow saint, we cannot live on a permanent diet of devotional ministry. If we want to mature as Christians, if we want to be stronger Christians, then it is a necessity that we sit under the sound of wholesome teaching, expositional ministry, and thank God for men who are able to mine down into those seams that run through the Word of God and set out God's program and purposes, and they unfold to us the doctrine of the Scriptures. But you know what? There are just times, fellow saint, when all we need is just something to lift our spirits, to refresh our souls, something that is easy to digest rather than something that's profound. And the wonder of the Word of God is this, that it does contain those deep seams of great Bible truth. And yet, you know, it also contains liberally throughout the whole of the Word of God, nuggets that are there on the surface, ready for you and I to pick up, to digest, to enjoy. And I trust, you know, that in the 15 or 20 minutes left to me, that this evening we will pick up just some of those little nuggets. Throughout the life of the Lord Jesus, particularly his public ministry, his pathway took him through many, many places. And you could think of some of them. You could think of Jericho. You could think of Jerusalem. You could think of Bethany. You could think of Caesarea Philippi. You could think of Samaria. And the list goes on. Every one of those places, fellow saint, was but a milestone on a pathway that began in Bethlehem and that was going to take him to Calvary. As he traversed that pathway, his life intersected with the life journey of thousands. On one occasion, there were about 5,000 men beside women and children. On another occasion, there were 4,000. Remember the time when he was in the house and the house was full. Remember the time when he was on the seashore and the shore was filled with people, so that he has to borrow the boat of Simon Peter and stand in the boat and address the crowds. The Bible says the common people received him gladly. And yet, you know, there were times when on that pathway of life, he came across individual people. People like Mary Magdalene. People like Bartimaeus. People like Zacchaeus. People like Simon Peter. What I want us to do in the time that we have left, I want to think about a man whose life intersected with that of Jesus. All their pathways didn't run parallel for many years. Probably only for a few minutes. That was all. And unlike Nicodemus, he didn't meet Jesus at the outset of his public ministry. This man met Jesus just a few hours before Jesus died. I want you to come back with me 2,000 years. I can't tell you the year precisely, but I can tell you the date. It was the 14th day of the first month. I want you to come with me to a place that the Bible calls Gabbatha, which interpreted is the pavement. And here's a Roman prefect. His name is Pilate. And on that morning, Pilate faces a crisis. He has a dilemma. You see, on his hands that morning, Pilate had two men. One of those men he was going to release and give his freedom. And the other man, Pilate was going to sentence him to the most horrific form of capital punishment. You know, it shouldn't have been a problem for Pilate. There was no need for it to be a dilemma, because it would not be possible to find two men that were more contrasting than the two men that he presented to the people. As we cobble together the accounts that we read of in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John about Barabbas, there are 10 references to his name, 5 in Matthew, 3 in Mark, just 1 in Luke, and the 1 in John that we read about, John 18, verse 40. And as we assemble what the gospel writers tell us about Barabbas, he stands in stark contrast to Jesus. You know, Barabbas was guilty. Jesus wasn't innocent, fellow saint. He was holy. Barabbas was a murderer. The Lord Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life." What a contrast. A murderer in contrast to a life giver. It is said of Barabbas that he was a thief. The very closing words of John 18. Now, Barabbas was a robber. What about the Lord Jesus? Well, in Psalm 69 and verse 4, it says this: "Then I restored that which I had not taken away." Fellow saint, one was a robber. One restored what he had not taken away. One was a rioter. We're told that there was insurrection. And Barabbas was there. He was an insurgent. He was a rioter. What does the prophet say about the Lord Jesus? Well, 700 years before he came, Isaiah said in chapter 53 in verse 9, "He did no violence." Fellow saint, what a difference between two men. The life of Barabbas could be summed up in the words of the Lord Jesus in John 10, We know the background to the verse. I'm sure the Lord is speaking about sheep and a shepherd. And the Lord says in John 10, verse 10, and it sums up the life of Barabbas, the thief is not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. In contrast to that, said the Lord Jesus in that verse, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Just before 9 o'clock on that fateful morning, Pilate made his decision. He released Barabbas and he sentenced Jesus to death by crucifixion. You know, Barabbas began that morning fully anticipating, I'm sure, that before nightfall he would be nailed to a cross. Barabbas fully expected, I'm sure, that by nightfall he would be hanging lifeless on a Roman gibbet. What he did not know is that when that prison door opened, he would be told he was a free man. In contrast to that, when that day opened out after a sleepless night for the Lord Jesus, he did know, fully know, that by nightfall he would have been crowned with thorns, drenched with spittle, scourged, rejected of the people, reviled, and ultimately crucified. You know, it's possible that that cross that had been made from a tree had been formed and fashioned for Barabbas. But it's never called in the Bible the cross of Barabbas. It's called the cross of Christ. But once in your Bible, in John 19, it's called the cross of Jesus. I don't know about you, but sometimes I let my mind wander and I imagine things. And I've often wondered, you know, what did Barabbas do that day? I've often wondered, did he make his way outside of the city and following the crowds, whether he stood at a distance or did he draw a bit nearer? Did he ever stop and gaze on that center cross? I've often wondered, you know, did he accept the fact, if he did stand there, that he should have been on that cross? Did he ever pause and think that morning, I should have died, but Jesus died for me? I don't know. I don't know if he ever did make his way to Calvary, fellow saint. I don't know if he ever did stand in front of that cross and gaze on those words, this is Jesus of Nazareth. I don't know if he did stand there until suddenly the day was plunged into darkness. I don't know if he ever did hear those words. Why art thou so far from helping me? I don't know if he did. But fellow saint, we can. And that's what I want us to do in these closing moments. I want us to make our way to Calvary. Says the poet to Calvary, Lord, in spirit now, a grateful soul's repair, to dwell upon thy dying love and taste its sweetness there. Our fellow saint, let's just ponder things as we make our way to that place called Calvary. Oh, says the poet, such love springs from eternity. Such love streaming through history. Such love, fountain of life to me. Oh, Jesus, such love. I am aware, fellow saint, there is a difference between the death of Christ and the blood of Christ and the cross of Christ. If you've never heard Ian Jackson take up that line of ministry, see if you can get hold of a recording of him doing it. It's worth listening to. They're not synonymous terms. There are three books in the Bible, Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews. In one respect, they all deal with the same subject matter, but they present it in different ways. In Romans, it's the death. In Galatians, it's the cross. In Hebrews, the focus is on the blood. But just for now, I just want to think about these things in a very simple way. You maybe have a favorite verse. You maybe have a favorite portion. It may be Psalm 23. It may be Psalm 46. It may be Psalm 91. It may be something else. I want to tell you that I have a favorite portion in the Word of God. It's not a chapter. It's not even a verse. It's just a snippet out of one verse. And it says this: the Son of God loved me. And gave himself for me. You know, the fact that the verse says the Son of God loved shouldn't surprise you, and it shouldn't surprise me. There's nothing amazing about that. Son of God is a divine title. It speaks of equality with God. God is love. So when the Bible says the Son of God loved, I'm not surprised. It's what I would have expected. The mystery, the profundity, the immensity is what follows that. A simple two-letter word. The Son of God loved me. Fellow saint, I knew about that before I could do my shoelaces up. I knew the Son of God loved me before I could ride a bike. I knew the Son of God loved me before I knew that 3 fives were 15. And maybe that's the problem. Because I've known it all my life. The magnitude and the wonder and the preciousness of those words. Maybe I've been lost in their familiarity. Can we just pause for a moment and consider again the wonder? The Son of God loved me. I stand in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. But the verse goes on to say that he gave. I'm not surprised at that. You see, love must express itself in action. It's no good me telling Jackie that I loved her. I do that pretty much every day of my life. But there's no point in me saying it unless that is proven by some deed or some action. Well, the Lord Jesus, you know, he loved and he proved it by giving. But the wonder is this, for me. Poor fellow saint, doesn't this touch you? Can we think about these things and not be affected? Or says the poet, O Lord, from my heart do I thank thee for all that thou hast borne in my room, thine agony, dying, unsolaced, alone in the darkness of doom, that I, in the glory of heaven, forever and ever might be, a thousand thanksgivings I bring, blessed Saviour, to thee. You know, as I close, the life of the Lord Jesus was a life of giving. Gave his time for people that others would have ignored. Gave his energy, gave his peace. One day, fellow saint, he gave his cheeks. Says the prophet in chapter 50, I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off his hair, off the hair. Throughout his earthly ministry, the Lord Jesus gave much. I want to tell you, at Calvary, he gave his all. You know, in 1 Timothy 2, it says that he gave himself a ransom for all. When we come to Ephesians chapter 5, it says he gave himself for the church. When we come to Titus chapter 2, it says he gave himself for us, for all, for the church, for us. The fellow saying, the verse that melts my heart is not that he gave himself for the church. Thank God he did. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her. And for her sake he died. Wonderful truth. Gave himself a ransom for all. Gave himself for us. He gave himself for me. When we see thee as the victim, bound to the accursed tree, for our guilt and folly stricken, all our judgment borne by thee, Lord, we own with hearts adoring, thou hast loved us unto blood. Glory, glory, everlasting, be to thee, thou Lamb of God. Simple things, fellow saint. But may our response be summed up in the words of another hymn. The hymn rounds off with these words, and yet, I want to love thee, Lord, or light the flame within my heart, and I should love thee more and more until I see thee as thou art.